Deuteronomy chapter 10, and I'll read the chapter. At that time the Lord said unto me, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me in the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of fire in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made. And there they be, as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gudgoduth, and from Gudgoduth to Johath, a land of rivers of water. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers, to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that have done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. On Sunday mornings, we're looking at what some of our responses ought to be to Almighty God. So far, we've seen we ought to love God. Then we saw that we need to know God. Then we saw that we need to obey God. And then last Sunday, we saw that we need to trust in God. And this morning, I want us to see that we need to fear God. You might think, how can you possibly love and fear God at one and the same time? But to think that means you don't really understand what it means to fear God. And I hope you will, by the end of the sermon, understand what it actually means to fear God. That loving God and fearing God aren't a contradiction is seen by the fact that in our reading we saw in verse 12 that that is what God requires us to do at one and the same time. Fear God, walk in his ways, love God, and serve God with all your heart and all your soul. And the four requirements in that verse will help us to understand ultimately what it means in the Hebrew that's translated fear God in our Bibles. At the most basic level, at the most small level, to fear God means to acknowledge God's existence. And sadly, that's not true of a multitude of people. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They suppress the knowledge of God that God has created them with. So they live as if there's no God, and God has no influence upon their hearts and upon their lives. Many people, though sinners separated from God, don't totally suppress that knowledge of God. They recognize that there is a God. They would tell you that they believe there is a God, but they have none of the fear of the Lord that God requires. The only fear of God they would have would be a more a slavish fear of God. They may think, their conscience may be troubled. Will God punish me for doing this or doing that? And many non-Christians have said to me over the years when they've had big problems of health or other things, is God punishing me? They're not Christians, but they have that sort of fear that God is dealing with them, punishing them for something they have done in their lives. But that's a slavish fear of God. Nothing more than that. The fear of the Lord, which we're told, is the beginning of wisdom, only begins when a sinner recognizes, against you, Almighty God, I've sinned. And recognizes they deserve, in the righteous, just judgment of God, the eternal wrath of God for all those sins. And also recognizes that there is nothing they can do, no work that can merit them forgiveness of their sins against God. But they begin to see what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be forgiven their sins. They see that God became man, and God, in the same nature as us, without sin, suffered and died for sin on Calvary's cross. He bore the penalty, the sins of all who would believe upon him deserve in their place. And seeing that in the grace of God, they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them a sinner. They trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven their sins. And it is only then we are truly wise. It's only then that we have the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the fear of God? It's a loving reverence for God that will cause an individual not wanting to displease God, but to obey God in all things. It's a complete devotion to a mighty God. It's an unconditional submission to the will of Almighty God revealed in his word. You see, in that verse 12 in Deuteronomy 10, there's four things. So you've got saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the child of God, a holy, righteous, majestic, great God. Your creator is your heavenly Father. Here's what he requires of you. Fear God. And that word has at its heart in the original Hebrew an idea of reverence for God. Walk in his ways, love God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Four things that God requires of us. If you fear God, you will love God. If you love God, you will fear God. And if you fear and love God, you'll want to walk in God's ways, and you'll want to serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, love and fear of God go hand in hand. And the fear of God is really a loving reverence for God that results in you wanting to walk in his ways and serve him with all your heart and soul. Not just walk in his ways when it suits you, when it doesn't cost you, but you have such a desire not to displease God, you want to earnestly obey God in all things. And such a fear of the Lord, sinners against God never have. It only begins when a guilty, lost sinner repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the first time in one's life, then, you should have a loving reverence for God, a heartfelt desire not to displease the God of your salvation, but a heartfelt desire to obey him in all things. Because on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will put into the heart of those saved by his grace a desire to fear him. We're told in Jeremiah 32, I will put my fear in their hearts, that they will not depart from me. There is no genuine saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if we're not seeking to avoid displeasing God by disobeying him. It's not that we perfectly will achieve that this side of glory, but that should be the desire of our hearts if we are genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to displease, disobey God, our Heavenly Father. Rather, we want to please him. We want to obey him in all things. And it comes out elsewhere in the Word of God. In Proverbs 3, it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. In Proverbs 16, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And in Paul's letter, the second letter to the church of Corinth, in chapter 7, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Where there's the fear of God, a loving reverence for God, there'll be the desire to live a holy life, a desire to please God, not to displease God. We're told in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean. Now, this being the case, if you're a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who fears the Lord, when you're tempted to sinfully displease God and do so, it means you're setting aside the fear of the Lord in your heart. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. I remember reading years ago, and I read it more recently, somebody else quoted it in a book I was reading. It was a help to you when you're tempted to sin against God in any way, by the way you act or think or speak. It says, see that God is saying this to you. I am here. I certainly know what you're doing. So stop, or else you will displease me and feel my displeasure. I'm here. I see what you're doing. So stop. Don't sin against me, because if you do, you'll displease me and feel my displeasure. You see, the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have the fear of the Lord in their hearts, should not fear man. So often, where a Christian fails and falls down is, they fear man more than they fear the Lord. They fear what people will say or do if you please God and do what God wants, rather than displeasing God and disobeying God and doing what they want. If you're a Christian, there are so many people around about you, and there is no fear of God before their eyes, because there's no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. People in your family, people at school or college, people in the workplace, people in one's neighborhood, they have no fear of God. They have no loving reverence for Almighty God. They have no desire to please God. They have a desire to do what's right in their own eyes, whether that pleases God or doesn't please God. And if the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, with this loving reverence for God, seeks to earnestly obey God in all things, at times the non-Christian can be annoyed with us, unhappy with us, angry with us, and say and do all sorts to us because we're obeying God rather than doing what they want, which would involve us disobeying God. If out of the fear of people, what they may say or do, how they will react, we as Christians disobey God, then the fear of man is causing us to go contrary to the fear of the Lord. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're rejecting the fear of the Lord out of the fear of man. But we should rather fear the Lord. We should have such a loving reverence for God in our hearts. We want to obey God and please God no matter what. And if people are going to say things and do things to us because we do what God wants, so be it. We should have the attitude of the psalmist. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. We should always go by the principle as Christians. I'm going to please God. I'm going to do what God says. And I'm going to leave the consequences to Almighty God. How displeasing to the God who has saved us at such a price, to out of the fear of man, which are contrary to the word of God, who have no fear of the Lord before their eyes. If you're a Christian this morning, what do you want to do in life? What's your great aim? It should be to please the Lord. Listen to what it says in Psalm 147. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him. If you want to please God as a Christian, then show a loving reverence for God that doesn't want to displease him, but wants to obey him in all things. And this fear of the Lord, this loving reverence for God, should affect the way we even worship God. A casual, careless, disordered worship of God is inconsistent with a loving reverence for Almighty God. And every Christian, if we're not careful, can be guilty of forgetting when we gather to worship God publicly with his people, the nature of the God we're coming to worship. So often we can just come before God as if we're coming before somebody that's really nothing. So often the people of God gather in a way that is no different to what I've seen at a football match or a concert. You wouldn't think God was there. You wouldn't think we're coming before Almighty God. The psalmist says, in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. And when we gather to worship on the Lord's day, when we gather to pray during the week, yes, we'll exchange greetings and yes, we'll talk about some things. But we need to remind ourselves as we come closer to the time when we're going to meet before God and worship Him. We need to prepare our hearts and minds for what we're about to do. We're coming before the presence of the living God, the living God. We're not at a football match. We're not at a concert. We're coming before God Himself. I want to quote two verses to you and then quote a verse each time in the light of that verse. You'll see what I mean. We're told in 1 Chronicles 29, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Now, in the light of that, it's no surprise it says in Jeremiah 5, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence?" Or again from Exodus 15, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And in the light of that, Deuteronomy 28, "That thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God." It's little wonder, it's no surprise, God tells us in the New Testament, in His worship, that all things are to be done decently and in order. There needs to be an urgent recognition by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this country today, that on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we're reconciled to God. Yes, we become the children of God. Yes, God becomes our Heavenly Father. But God doesn't drop down to the same level as us. He is still the Lord thy God, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, great and majestic, and should be worshipped with a loving reverence. It says in Psalm 89, "God is to be feared in the assembly of the saints, greatly to be feared, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." How reverent we ought to be in the worship of God. Thoughtlessness, familiarity, formality are all contrary to a loving reverence of Almighty God. There's an increasing careless attitude and casual attitude to the worship of God and the way God is even addressed. Far from fearing the Lord, far from having a loving reverence for God. It makes me smile somewhat as an older minister in the gospel, because when you're older and you bring forth these principles, people sometimes think, particularly younger ones, that, oh, well, he's older. I thought the same thing when I was 21. I preached the same thing when I was 21. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got everything to do with the Word of God says. There is an enormous casualness and carelessness in the professing church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the UK today. You wouldn't think God is the majestic, great, holy, mighty God our Creator He is. You'd really think He was someone just almost on the same level as us, hardly any different to us. Now, of course, we don't fear the Lord. We don't have a loving reverence for God that longs to please and not displease God for what we can get. We fear the Lord because that's what we ought to do. That's what God requires us to do. Because He is God. He requires this of us. We should have a loving reverence for Him. We should want to walk in His ways. We should want to serve Him with all our heart and soul. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful reality that God promises to do so many things for those that do fear Him. that shouldn't be our goal primarily. We fear the Lord because it requires that. But when we do fear the Lord, when we do have a loving reverence for God that seeks to please him and not displease him, God says, here are the things I'm going to promise you. You see, those that fear the Lord, God promises to supply their needs. We're told in Psalm 34, there is no want to them that fear him. And similarly in Psalm 111, he hath given meat to them that fear him. So God promises those that really do fear the Lord, he will supply their needs. He also promises those who truly fear the Lord, he will protect them. It says in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth around those who? That fear him. God promises to protect those who have a loving reverence for him, which seeks to obey him in all things. Those that truly fear the Lord, God promises to hear and answer their prayers. In Psalm 145, it says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. But also, those who truly fear the Lord, it's a wonderful promise in Psalm 103. God tells us he'll have compassion for us. He'll be merciful to us. Listen to these lovely words. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. There are so many wonderful promises in the Word of God, given by God, and the only proviso is that you fear him. These are promises, he says, I make to those that fear me, those who have a loving reverence for me, so that they want to walk in my ways. They want to serve me with all their heart and soul. The last thing they want to do is displease me. Again, listen to Ecclesiastes 8. Surely I know that it shall be well with those that fear him. Or again, Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for those that fear thee. It's summed up really in how I began our worship, reading the opening verse of Psalm 112. Blessed is the man or the woman that feareth the Lord. So not only should we fear the Lord because God commands it, it requires it, but if we've got any sense at all, as God's children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look at all the blessings, all the promises to those who truly fear the Lord, have a loving reverence for God, seeking to walk in his ways and not displease him, who wouldn't want to be seeking to fear the Lord as he commands? Now, sadly, mankind by nature doesn't fear the Lord, doesn't have a loving reverence for God, doesn't obey God. On the contrary, has no reverence for God and sinfully disobeys Almighty God. That's why everyone who's ever lived needs to ask God in the Lord Jesus Christ to be merciful to them, a sinner, to pardon and forgive all their sins, and to help them follow the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his word. Because only then will we ever begin to fear the Lord, have a loving reverence for God in our hearts that wants to obey him and please him. It will be the fruit of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The consequences for not repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not having the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, are enormous. Why, God tells us in his word, in our lifetime, we'll live our lives without God. Now, non-Christians may buy that, say, shrug their shoulders and say, so what? Who cares? I'm not bothered whether I live without God or I live without God. But then God tells us, at the end of our lives, if we don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we haven't got the fear of the Lord, it will be a fearful thing the day we fall into God's hands. You see, in a person's lifetime, many Christians don't have any slavish fear of God. They're not concerned, they're not bothered about what's going to happen after they die, eternity. They don't really consider these things. They don't really think of these things at all. And I've been with non-Christians when they are dying, and they have no fear of God. They're not afraid that they're about to go into the presence of a God they have continually sinned against, and they're unforgiven all their sins. But the moment they took their last breath, and you sat there, and you knew they died, you knew they were experiencing now the reality. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God and to receive the just, the righteous punishment all one's sins against him deserve. In Psalm 76, he says this, thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Can we begin to imagine being before, in the sight of, the living God, our maker and creator, who we have disobeyed so often in our lives, who we've turned our backs upon his love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Those who are of you believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to realize as Christians that this should be a characteristic of us. God requires it of us. We fear and love him. We have a loving reverence for God that wants to walk in his ways, wants to please him. We should have a loving reverence for God in the way as Christians we think about God, in the way that we talk about God, in the way that we speak to God, in the way that we sing the praises of Almighty God. A loving reverence for God, which will mean we want to please God no matter the cost. We want to please God no matter how man may be displeased with us and no matter what they may say or do to us. So if the answer to the question is, do you fear God? If it's no, well, then it means you're without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to trust in him with all your heart to save you, a sinner. If it's yes, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a loving reverence for the God of my salvation. I don't want to displease him. I want to please him by obeying him. You know, as a Christian, there are times when you don't fear the Lord like that. When you do displease him and you do disobey him. So as a Christian, your prayer needs to be the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 86. And with this, I'll close. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart to fear thy name.